The Lord be with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came into the district of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. Pharisees approached him and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The Gospel of the Lord. I think there is a connection between the Gospel and the first reading. Maybe a distant one, but I'll try to bring the two together. First reading speaks about a very, very important social reality. And it is that of friendship. Friendship. Amistad, amigos, friendship. Very important. Remember when I was about 11 years old, I suffered my greatest suffering up to that point. And it was this. My father came back from work, and he said, "Family, we are moving." In my family, my father was the head of the family, and my mom was basically, she was the heart, okay? When my father said, my mother would dialogue with dad, but dad always had the last word, okay? That was our family, okay? He had the last word, no? But I tried to contradict his last word. I said, "Dad, please, you're joking. No, son, we're moving. Dad, please, please, don't move." He said, "We're moving." "Dad, I beg you, please don't move." We're living in New York. Within a month, we're already in New Jersey. Now, not that I had anything against New Jersey. No? Nothing wrong with New Jersey. Okay? They're still Yankee fans anyway, okay? But the problem was this, is that there in New York, I had a lot of good little friends. And as a little child and as a teenager, I loved my friends. We got some teachers here, I hated school. I was a good student, but I didn't like school at all. For me, school we called a jail. Did you get us? You know, from 8 to 3 o'clock every day. Then we out with the friends, playing baseball, snowball fights, tree forts. I mean, we were in hog's heaven every time we got back from school. So I really appreciated my friends. Then when I did move to New Jersey, within about 2 months, I met some friends that were just as good as my friends in New York. I meet a lot of people here in LA. They say they don't have any friends, and that causes desolation in me. Here we have one of the biggest cities in the world, with millions and millions of people that live and have one friend. So when they say, no, it's not true. You've got 7 friends. Father Larry, Father Antolini, Father Craig, Father Dave, Father Broom, and Chichino or Chichina. Which means our 2 cats, okay? Have to admit, that cat is a friendly cat, right? Did you ever see him? The other one has some psychological complexes that we're working on, okay? That's as effective original sin, of course, right? Even in the cat world, right? But it's sad to meet so many people in this huge city that don't have one friend. So the first reading go through is the different types of pseudo friends, or pseudo means false friends. I think some of you have read some of the writings of Aristotle. Aristotle was probably the greatest Greek philosopher. And he gives you a definition of what a friend is. Friend is someone that has commonality of interest with the other friend. I don't think that that's the best Christian or Catholic definition, but there's something in it. Commonality of interest. So I don't really agree with that, because even cholos have commonality of interest, right? They agree in trying to steal and do evil. I tell our young people that a true friend is someone that helps us to get closer to God. Amen? I think my definition goes beyond Aristotle. What do you think? It's someone that helps us to get closer to God. How many parents here? Okay, do your children have friends? Well, okay, is it an Aristotelian definition or a definition of Father Broom? Maybe it's more Aristotelian than it is Broomian. Huh? Okay. Broomian is my name, by the way. Okay? In other words, is this person, that friend of your son or daughter, going to help him get closer to God and closer to heaven? If not, then it's really not a friendship. Really not a friendship. That person has to help your son or daughter to be living a more moral life, a more holy life, a more upright life, a more pure life. And I think that some of the worst friendships, wrong friendships, pseudo-friendships, that are present today are what? If I can use the word in Spanish, noviazgos. Noviazgo, you ever hear that word? You know what noviazgo mean? Stella, what does it mean? Well, in English, okay. It's this. It's like a courtship, or courtship between a man and a woman. Some of those are the worst in the world, because what are they based on? S-E-X. I didn't say S-I-X, but S-E-X, okay? based on lust. According to my definition, that's not friendship at all. That's the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Well, we really love each other, Father. Love at first sight. I saw her and I fell in love. She saw me, I fell in love. And if you both die, you go to hell together, huh? Right? There they are, driving a car, going to a dance. They've already fornicated 10 times in the past 20 days. There they are going to a party in which they're going to get drunk and have relations at night. And they get a car accident. Where do they end up? Disneyland? Knott's Berry Farm? Magic Mountain? No, they end up in Aguas Calientes, huh? They end up in hell. So that's not a friendship. And the best thing they could do is for one of them to move to Alaska and the other one to move to Australia and not have connection with the internet. So a true friend helps me get closer to God. Okay, two other quick ideas. Some of you have heard of Thomas Aquinas, Santo Tomas de Aquino. Have you? I quote him often. Can any of you tell me, according to Thomas Aquinas, what should be the strongest friendship on a human level? Don't all speak at the same time. I will tell you. The strongest relationship on a human level should be that between a husband and wife. How far we are from that often, huh? Sometimes they actually become the worst enemies, no? Vivan como gatos y perros en la misma casa, huh? Están casados, pero parecen que son gato y perro, ¿no? Live like cats and dogs, ¿no? But it should be that they're the best friends. The best friends. That's the way it should be, according to Thomas Aquinas. And he's the greatest theologian. Well, let me end with our best friend. There at the Last Supper, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was sitting at the table with his apostles, and he said, I do not call you slaves or servants, I call you friends. Our best friend is Jesus Christ. El amigo que nunca falla, right? He's the friend that will never fail us. And I believe if we really do have Jesus Christ as our best friend, then we will cultivate other friendships that are based on that love. So let's ask Mary, who is the best friend of Jesus Christ and his mother, to help us to cultivate good friendships, starting with friendship with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen.